Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
According to the National Institute of Health, nearly a quarter of U.S. women are affected by pelvic floor disorders. My guest today is Missy Lavender. She's the founder and executive director of the Women's Health Foundation. Welcome to the show, Missy. So let's talk about pelvic floor disorders. What constitutes pelvic floor disorders?
So it's a broad group of conditions, Melanie, that affect basically the ability of the pelvic floor to work and therefore do what it's supposed to do, which is to hold things closed, so different openings. So it could be bladder issues, could be bowel issues, but also vaginal health issues, uterine health issues, things like prolapse, where things start to fall, be it the bladder, be it the bowel, be it the uterus. So it's a broad group of conditions that also include pain, pelvic pain.
So many of us experience pelvic pain for no reason at all, and incontinence after having babies, and there's so many different things that we experience. So first, how do you know if you have a pelvic floor disorder? Just if you're incontinent, or if you get little pains now and then, or is it something you go see your gynae and you find out that you have it?
So that's a brilliant question, Melanie. So the first thing is, we always tell women, if anything is showing up below your belt that you're not happy with, you definitely want to go see your healthcare provider, be that your primary care physician, which in a lot of women that would be their OBGYN, or your regular internist, and ask for a referral if it's a PCP, more of a primary care doctor. But it could be leaking urine when you don't want to. It could be leaking stool or gas when you don't want to. It could be a feeling of heaviness or pain below your belt. A lot of women, Melanie, don't really know what's going on. They just know that something's not right. But if you're leaking, bleeding, and in constant pain, definitely know that those may be common, but not normal.
Okay, so they're common, but not necessarily normal. Now, we all hear about Kegel exercise. Do your Kegels all the time. I'm an exercise physiologist, Missy, and I've been teaching this to my pre-surgery patients for years and years, even men.
Great.
Before they go in for prostate surgery, you try and teach them to pull in from their tush. It's hard to teach.
Very
for women,
hard.
A little bit easier to describe. So do these really work to strengthen our pelvic floor?
So one important thing to notice, Melanie, is that if a woman has damage from primarily vaginal delivery, and she's torn things that cannot be Kegeled away, for example, connective tissue or fascia, you could Kegel all day long and nothing is going to help that. So it really depends on what she's trying to strengthen and why. They also don't work in isolation. So you have what we call your true core, your front, your back, and your floor. So transverse abdominals, your multifidus in back, your pelvic floor, they all work together. We call it your pelvic pyramid. It's actually Diane Lee out of Canada's term. It's important that women understand how to find these deep muscles, how to activate them, and then to understand that they do work in combination. So not necessarily just pelvic floor work, but really these deep core muscles definitely help things like incontinence, but also are great for balance, for arousal and lubrication, if you're talking pelvic floor, for just general stability.
That's right. Now, when women do things like squats, they think they can't do lunges or squats or things because they'll maybe leak a little, or I've heard this for years, Missy, that'll stretch out my pelvic floor if I do squats or if I do lunges. Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm not an exercise physiologist, but what I do know about
lunges doesn't stretch out your pelvic floor.
It does not stretch out your pelvic floor, but an important thing for women to know, Melanie, and I'm sure you know this from your work, is that when you're in a compromised position where your legs are wide open like that in any position, you want to be really mindful of your pelvic floor and your entire pelvic pyramid when you're starting to exert any kind of motion. So what I don't want to see women do is bearing down when they should be lifting up. That's definitely not taking your pelvic floor in the direction we want it to go.
No, definitely not. You know, there's cones too. What do you think of those? The little cones, weights, vaginal cones to help work those muscles better if you can't do your Kegels properly.
You know, there are right now on the market a lot of different devices and technologies, and I think all of them are good because it's like having a set of dumbbells in your bedroom. I mean, you're more apt to pick them up if they're sitting there lying and do a couple of bicep curls. So having weights or cones or some of the new pelvic floor trainers that are out there in the market with or without a smartphone app, I think are fantastic because a lot of times women don't know what muscles they're working. Men, interestingly, they do a good Kegel and they can see, you know, their penis move. That's really, I mean, that's good visual. But for women, sometimes they don't know exactly what they should be squeezing and where. So having these little devices could be helpful. I always tell women, please don't fumble around with this. If you don't understand what's going on, if your symptoms are getting worse or you're in pain for whatever reason, go see a coach. We have pelvic floor physical therapists who are phenomenal. This is what they do all day long. But your doctor should be able, especially an OBGYN, to assess whether you're squeezing the right muscles and then make a referral.
Now, one interesting thing is I look over some of the talking points, and it's a little off topic, but teaching our girls to be in charge. I have a daughter who's just 13 now the other day, and a lot of women, and they even showed this in Orange is the New Black, Missy, that women don't know what they've got going on down there. Men seem to know exactly what they've got because they've known it since they were little. But women, we have to use a mirror and look. And is this something that you advocate and advise people to use a mirror, see what's going on, see what you look like down there, see what all the different parts are?
100,000%. So I have a 14-year-old daughter, and she does know how many openings she has. But Kotex did a worldwide study several years ago, and it doesn't matter if you're in Indonesia or the U.S., women do not know how many openings they have. And when we did a study a couple of years ago, the results were published in October in the Journal of Adolescent and Pediatric Gynecology. And then we wrote this book because we were shocked, not really shocked, we kind of knew this, but we were just really validated that little girls, these were girls, you know, 14 to 17, they were having their periods. They had no idea. Now, where is the urine stored? Where does it come out of? How many openings do you have? And this is such an integral part of us as women. It is the key center in our body that we are always advocating that women and girls understand their bodies. A mirror is a beautiful way to see what's going on down there because you're right. It is a little more hidden and takes a little bit more discovery.
It does, and I think that some girls would say, ew, I don't want to see that, but yet then they put in a tampon and they say, how do I pee with a tampon in?
Exactly.
And they, you know, they have all of these questions, so getting to know our own bodies is certainly key. What other bits of advice do you have for women below the belt that we should be knowing about doing for ourselves?
Well, I mean, our study was really lovely to understand what kind of misconceptions there are out there in young girls' minds, and the reality is most of them are taught about their bodies by their mothers or their caregivers. So you can see this cycle of misinformation just, you know, propelling forward. These little girls were already symptomatic of things like stress incontinence, where they laugh, cough, sneezed, and they leaked. They had no idea that that wasn't normal. I mean, you know, I play a sport, I leak, or I cough or I have a giggle laugh and I leak. That's not normal at 14 to 17. It's not normal at any age.
No.
They were told that their periods were supposed to be painful. They were supposed to stay away from school if it was really bad or abstain from physical exercise. And they were told this primarily by their mothers or caregivers. And we know that in the African-American population, for example, they are staying out of school at a rate twice as high as the Caucasian girls.
Wow. You know, and it is amazing. Now, we only have 30 seconds left, Missy. Give women the best advice that you have and where they can go for more information.
First of all, know that you're not alone. If you have anything going on below the belt, you are one of tens of millions of other women. Go find care. Ask your doctor. Ask for a referral. Keep asking until you're satisfied. For more information, you can come to our website, thewomenshealthfoundation.org, womenshealthfoundation.org, or belowyourbelt.org for more information about the book or for girls.
Great, great advice. We should all know what's going on below the belt, and that's such a cool name. So you can go and find out more information at thewomenshealthfoundation.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. Share these shows with your friends. We really appreciate it, and we all learn together that way. Thanks for listening, and stay well.